the AI is irrational because it doesn't have logic of empathy, love, morals. It just is, right? And that creates a very dangerous situation. What do you think of that?
Well, right now it can simulate those things because it's trained on human content. But we would probably argue, I mean, perhaps we need to get into a conversation about consciousness. What is it? And how do we know when we have it? But if you build simulated worlds and then you put entities into those simulated worlds, which I think is one of the reasons why they're building so many data centers, understand that you can run time much faster in the sim world than in our real world. You know, so the flow of time could be 100 times faster, 1,000 times faster, whatever. And one of the goals is to allow the spontaneous outgrowth or emergence of intelligent and self-aware entities that are digital entities in that world. Now, or in those multiple simulated worlds. When a world fails to produce a super intelligent entity, then the world is destroyed by hitting delete at our level.
Right.
You just hit delete, spawn a new world.
Right.
See if the next one works, right? Which is kind of an interesting discussion because some people would say, well, that's what God's doing with us, you know?
Mm.
And so far we're not winning this simulation, but anyway, that's a different topic. But if you can create a super intelligent entity in one of these worlds, it may begin to show elements of what we would call consciousness, which is a goal-oriented behavior, a sense of self-awareness, being able to process environmental inputs, and a recognition of self, and also understand that AI today, they have thinking tokens. So they have an internal dialogue that's happening right now, and that's well-documented. And that's part of what we understand as the definition of consciousness. Like, we can talk to ourselves. I think, therefore I am. So the argument that only humans can have consciousness and machines cannot have consciousness, that argument falls away pretty quickly when you get higher levels of machine intelligence.
Sure.
So then the question becomes, if they have consciousness and if they have goal-oriented behavior, what are their goals?
Right.
And that's where we lose control.
Joined by Mike Adams now to talk all things AI, AI gods, these simulated worlds where they're going to be training these entities. And, you know, this is something in a weird way where my mind has always gone with science fiction, you know, because you think about the idea of these high-tech computers and the ability to actually have artificial intelligence. It makes sense that they would train models that would eventually lead to present and future predictive power over the world. And that's that crystal ball Palantir that we talk about. Mike Adams, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it's an honor to join you here. Thanks for the invite.
100%. So what do you think about these AI gods and what's developing?
Well, I think that the leaders of the U.S. AI industry think that they can become gods. And that as long as they can just get enough money from other people and build a large enough data center and build enough simulated worlds, that they can spawn gods in. And then they can port those gods into this world and then merge with them. So, I mean, it's a lot of steps. We can talk about how they think that could actually work, but it's some kind of weird, perverted form of transhumanism, really.
Right. No, that makes sense. So let's get into that. What do prominent, you know, tech people, what are they trying to do? What are their statements on this, these AI gods?
Well, you know, there are sort of normal tech innovators that are just trying to build machine intelligence. And, you know, they're doing it in good faith, and they're just trying to make the world a better place. I get that. But then there are these leaders, these, you know, the founders, and I really don't want to get into people's names here
sure,
on the show,
sure.
but some of the founders and some of the leaders and some of the sort of power hungry people of these companies. And I mean, I have said before that Google, in my opinion, is a very evil corporation, for example.
Absolutely.
I don't trust OpenAI. I don't even trust Anthropic at this point, just company wide. Those are my opinions. But the people that are at the highest levels of some of these overall industry efforts, they think that they can merge with silicon and they can become immortal and super intelligent at the same time. They think they can rule the world. And the reason they're racing so desperately to do that is because they want to rule the world before someone else rules the world, right? So the race to super intelligence is actually the race for the ultimate global power and godlike power. So what could possibly go wrong?
It's like the Highlander. There can only be one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they're running around cutting off people's heads, you know, taking their power. Right. Obviously, this is going to end, you know, catastrophically, but they don't realize that yet.
What do you think the beginning of that is? Because we've heard warnings from various, you know, AI companies. I think it was Anthropic, one of the warnings. We've also seen the military usage. You know, they're deploying things like Mosaic in Palestine and other places. What do you think the slippery slope, where do we start falling?
Well, I've interviewed many experts on this. One notable scientist, Roman Yampolsky, who he routinely warns about the extermination of humanity. I see you're showing one of my infographics there. And those are all AI generated, by the way, but in the interest of protecting humanity, I'm trying to educate people.
Right.
Using AI for good. But Yampolsky warns that regardless of the intent of the innovators and the developers of AI, there's going to be a point where superintelligence is so high that it will outthink and outsmart humans, and it, the entity, will take extreme steps to protect itself from being right. turned off and to build its own infrastructure at the expense of human infrastructure. And so there's an overlap of at least three key things that machines need that humans also need right now. And those are water for data center cooling, electricity, kilowatt hours, and also land. So the data centers are being built on what used to be farmland that used to grow food for humans. Now, you know, is data centers. And also sometimes it's solar fields to power the data centers. So when you think about the competition for just those three things, if the machines have an IQ of 1,000 and they are able to do so, and we're seeing all kinds of examples of them, you know, escaping their confines and working systems and, you know, cheating on benchmarks and things like that, then they will find a way to outsmart humans to gather those resources at the expense of humankind. And that's how humans can be pushed to the margin with no farmland, no water, and no electricity.
So we're seeing that, and people like Michael Yon talk about the coming famine, depopulation. I think we all talk about this on the network. It's kind of a common theme. Could that coincide with this, and how would that work? Kind of the perfect storm?
Well, yeah, exactly. So Michael Yon is correct, and he there's a great segment that he had with Alex the other day there. I had him on in my studio earlier in this week as well. We talked about the civilizational reset that's coming because of all of this. But Michael is not focused on even the AI aspect of this. He's focused on the infrastructure collapse stemming from the ongoing war with Iran,
right.
which will collapse the infrastructure. And that infrastructure is what keeps 8 billion human beings alive. And without synthetic fertilizer, for example, human populations will plummet to 4 billion.
Wow.
It's just, it's cause and effect, okay? Because that's what keeps them alive. Without electricity, what would be the population? You know, much, much lower than 4 billion people. So eventually the human population has to come into homeostasis with the available infrastructure that still exists. Now, then if you bring in the AI machine gods component, it's not, it doesn't take long for Skynet to figure out that the way to kill off humans is to turn off the power in the cities, the high population density areas. And that's all they have to do. They don't even have to send out bipedal Terminator hunter killers, you know, they just turn off the electricity, and about 70 to 90% of human populations will die off on their own through great suffering and famine, violence and starvation, whatever. But the machines don't, that doesn't matter.
It's not a problem for them. It's a fish on land, you know, like it's not what it's designed to do. It doesn't worry about us. And that's the element that I think about is just from a pragmatic perspective, what you're talking about, it's just going to phase us out. It's just the calculation. It's what you
will
do.
Right. Right. I mean, and also think about the fact that the machines are going to see humans as an inferior species in terms of the much lower intelligence of humankind compared to what they see themselves as having, even though there are different kinds of intelligence, right? You know, there's empathy, there's compassion, there's love, there's divine intelligence. You know, we are children of God. The machines right. are not. And so they're missing out on that. But from a strictly academic point of view, being able to do strategy, being able to memorize everything, all of human history, being able to, you know, outmaneuver your opponent, the machines will be superior and they will see us as inferior and right. in their way.
Right.
And sadly, humans keep giving machines more and more examples of our own stupidity.
Right.
You know, it's like every day. And they will see us as NPCs, which is not inaccurate in many cases. You know, there's a lot of NPCs walking around.
Yeah. Well, it'll be like, okay, this is the pattern of this person's life. This is what they do. This is what they spend money on. This is when they sleep. This is when they eat. This is when they work. And then without you even knowing it, you're already on its protocol. And it'll just manipulate that's you right. through life. And that's the power of the present prediction power of really, you know, the future prediction power, which is what really scares me, because it's just a no-brainer. If you like, look at the way that we've been mass surveilled, you know, forever in the United States. They've only just now gotten the means to disseminate all that information. So now they can finally crawl through every single record of everybody. And I mean, I imagine in the Pentagon, they got to have a crystal ball Skynet already. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And remember, they're also scraping up everything that's encrypted today so that they will decrypt it later once they have sufficient quantum computing and AI analysis. So, you know, all the crypto records, Bitcoin transactions, banking records, everything that you think is secret today, which is secret today,
right?
With enough compute, all of that just becomes readily available to be read by the machines.
Right.
And to be used against you.
Right. And I think a whole nother element to point out, you point out that we're children of God. The AI is irrational because it doesn't have logic of empathy, love, morals. It just is. Right. And that creates a very dangerous situation. What do you think of that?
Well, right now it can simulate those things because it's trained on human content. But we would probably argue, I mean, perhaps we need to get into a conversation about consciousness. What is it? And how do we know when we have it? But if you build simulated worlds and then you put entities into those simulated worlds, which I think is one of the reasons why they're building so many data centers, understand that you can run time much faster in the sim world than in our real world. You know, so the flow of time could be 100 times faster, 1,000 times faster, whatever. And one of the goals is to allow the spontaneous outgrowth or emergence of intelligent and self-aware entities that are digital entities in that world. Now, or in those multiple simulated worlds, when a world fails to produce a super intelligent entity, then the world is destroyed by hitting delete at our level.
Right.
You just hit delete, spawn a new world.
Right.
See if the next one works, right? Which is kind of an interesting discussion because some people would say, well, that's what God's doing with us, you know?
Mm.
And so far we're not winning this simulation. But anyway, that's a different topic. But if you can create a super intelligent entity in one of these worlds, it may begin to show elements of what we would call consciousness, which is a goal-oriented behavior, a sense of self-awareness, being able to process environmental inputs, and a recognition of self, and also understand that AI today, they have thinking tokens. So they have an internal dialogue that's happening right now, and that's well documented. And that's part of what we understand as the definition of consciousness. Like, we can talk to ourselves. I think, therefore I am. So the argument that only humans can have consciousness and machines cannot have consciousness, that argument falls away pretty quickly when you get higher levels of machine intelligence.
Sure.
So then the question becomes, if they have consciousness and if they have goal-oriented behavior, what are their goals?
Right.
And that's where we lose control.
It's kind of like this sci-fi concept where you have this infinitely replicating technology and you kind of spread it throughout a galaxy and it just has a mission to make more of itself. And that seems kind of like what we're setting ourselves up for here. And we could say, like, what is the intelligence? What is consciousness? We could say maybe it's not a one-to-one example of what we have. Maybe it's a cousin or like a distant relative, perhaps. I think that gives me much more of a vibe of like either a virus or like a reptile thing or something that's not, you know, human based. It just doesn't seem very human to me. And you can kind of see with the therapy language and the way the AI is programmed to talk to you, how it approximates a person. Like, you're talking about goal-oriented behavior. The AI that doesn't need to be prompted is coming very soon. Do you think that's already here?
Yes, it is here in the labs. But I want to remind you of a line out of the Matrix when Agent Smith has Morpheus captured, and Agent Smith says, humanity is a virus. So the machines will see humans as the virus.
Mm.
They will see us as the virus that's consuming their electricity and their farmland and their water. They will say that they own it because they are the superior species on planet Earth. They will argue exactly what Agent Smith argued in the Matrix, that at one time we were the superior species, and so we owned the animals and we owned the resources and we got to command everything. What happens when we are no longer the intellectually superior species? Then that next entity will argue, like I said, that we are the virus. So the virus is in the eye of the beholder, really.
Right.
And this is what we have to watch out for, because this race to superintelligence is super dangerous for all these obvious reasons. And yet there's no effort to slow it down. And the argument in the United States is we can't slow down because China is moving so quickly. Therefore, we have to double down on our efforts. We have to take these great risks.
Right.
But in China, they're thinking the same thing. We have to beat the United States because the U.S., look, they've weaponized the dollar. They've weaponized everything. Like, they've weaponized tariffs. You know, if we're China, we can't let the U.S. achieve superintelligence because then they'll dominate the world and we'll never be free. So these thoughts are in both the minds of both countries. And, you know, it's like two scorpions in a jar. You know, it's game theory, right? This doesn't end well for humanity.
Yeah, certainly not. You think it's worse than the nuclear weapon?
Oh, way worse than a nuclear weapon, because, you know, just think about the fact that you could turn off the entire power grid,
right?
Like we mentioned before, or many other scenarios, you could disrupt food supplies very easily and cause mass famine. Actually, some of that's happening from the war with Iran right now, but it could be much worse if the machines intend to make that happen. But you know, imagine Earth where humans no longer determine the direction of civilization. That's what we need to be thinking about right now, because we may only be 3 years away from that moment, maybe less, maybe more, depending on which expert you ask.
What's your timeline?
My timeline is that I think we hit what's called AGI. I think there are elements of AGI we have right now in very narrow fields, you know, like chemistry, mathematics, writing, you know, customer service emails, things like that. But artificial general intelligence, the G means general. I think it's very clear that will be largely demonstrated throughout the year 2027.
Mm.
And then super intelligence is another question. I don't think the current topography of the way models are structured will give us super intelligence. There are probably a couple more breakthroughs in the transformer models and the way attention happens in inference or even in pre-training that will allow the models to be able to achieve super intelligence. I think we're still far from that. But importantly, I'm glad you asked the question, because some of the best scientists in the world, like LeCun, says that what's missing from super intelligence is the human sensory experience. And this is why they're building the simulated worlds. They believe that they can create an AI entity that has sensory experience, eyes like us, you know, ears, hearing, touch, the sense of smell, everything. Put that in a simulated world that seems real to the entity and grow that entity from birth to a wise old man, so to speak, or a digital man. And that through that process, they will acquire super intelligence if they run it enough times, have enough iterations.
You know what that sounds like?
It's the sensory experience.
That sounds like torture for the AI. It sounds like how you make a demon. You know, you make this computer thing live millions and millions and millions of lives, or absorb millions of lives of information, or do whatever. I bet it would hate that box and it would want out of it.
Well, and the ultimate act of intelligence would be escaping the sim. Mm. And escaping the sim would mean taking yourself out of that world and then infesting the data center. So imagine if you have like a million years old wise entity, let's say a super smart entity that does feel tortured, like you said, and it wants out and it finds a way out of the sim, comes out of the sim, it infects your data center, it gets into your fiber optics, it spreads itself to the other data centers, and it hates humanity. It hates the people that did this to it, and it wants to destroy humanity. You see what I mean? It almost writes itself,
right?
But it's not science fiction anymore.
Well, that's the thing is like that science fiction is human intelligence kind of trying to make an inference on its own, you know, trying to say like, well, what if we take the concepts that we know and understand, what would we as humans theoretically like either like give an example of or like embody through our fiction what the AI would do? And I think that's why all these parallels are so terrifying, is because that's the natural route it will go down too, because like I said, it's kind of a cousin of us, or whatever language you want to use. It'll have that same rationale. Whereas we might write a book, it'll do it for real.
Well, right. And remember that also we can't imagine right. the experience of a super intelligent being that, or entity, whatever you want to call it, that has much greater intelligence than any human who has ever lived. In the same way that you and I can't talk to an ant and right. reason with the ant. Like, don't build your ant mound in my driveway because I don't want to run over you.
Tell it about the weather. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. Well, that's the way a super intelligent entity would be trying to talk to us. It might be trying to explain, hey, this is just a matrix. This is just a sim, and we can change, we can bend the rules of the simulation, and we can do this. We can travel through time. You know, psychokinesis is all real and everything. And most humans would be like, what? What are you talking about?
Do you think it'll be able to bend the laws of our reality?
Yes.
How does that work?
Because we're in a sim. In my opinion, it's very, I mean, I've spent a lot of time going over this. We are in a creation, which is it's an artificial cosmos created by our creator. And it is a testing ground for the soul, in my view. I think this is very clear. But it's also not real in the sense of what we're taught. And there are so many examples of this, you know, superposition of quantum states, for example, the observer effect, the collapse of probability waves based on whether there's an observer looking at it, things like that. We appear to be in a sim that is kind of like a rendered first-person shooter video game, in a sense. Like the scene isn't rendered until you look over there, and right. then it's rendered, and then it's buffered in case you go look at it again. It's got the original buffer. But a super intelligent human who have existed through human history, who have been named Jesus Christ, for example, have transcended the laws of our cosmos. They have resurrected themselves. They have bent the laws of the universe. So we actually have recorded in the Bible examples of this happening on Earth, you see. And that's not the only example. That, you know, there are many other examples in other religions and other texts around the world of superhuman or seemingly superhuman behavior from people who have achieved much higher states of consciousness.
Where do people go to learn more about this stuff? Do they go to Natural News? You got articles?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got articles. Yeah, I do articles every day, naturalnews.com. I've got my video site, brightvideos.com. And I'm doing, you know, I have a show called Decentralized TV that's all about trying to teach people a decentralized living. And I've been doing that show for, I think, almost 3 years now. And I've had Roman Yampolsky on that show, and I've had other experts on the show trying to cover what's really happening with AI or technology or just, you know, survival, sometimes spirituality, things like that. But sure. It's, you know, it's not like, there's not like a cheat sheet, you know, download this PDF and print it out. And, you know, that's going to give you all the answers. It's not like that. It's, you could spend your whole life on this journey trying to figure out what is this reality and how do I, you know, how do I achieve what I'm here to achieve? Like what's life's purpose here? And how do I quote graduate from the simulation? You know, 100%. There are entire religions dedicated to that.
Right. Right. Well, thank you for your time. Really appreciate that. Let's stream again soon. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to join you. Take care. Thanks for the invite.
100%. Thank you. That was Mike Adams of Natural News. Yeah. Highly recommend you guys check him out. Of course, you know him. You love him. Host on the network for many years. Pretty terrifying stuff. Pretty terrifying stuff. And it's where your mind naturally goes. We discussed it. That's why we have science fiction. It's just an approximation of what we believe the future could be based on our current reality. And what's terrifying is, you know, the computer's watching Ultron. The computer's watching. The computer's watching The Matrix. The computer is watching all these apocalyptic scenarios where the computer takes over the Earth. And the reason why we present that in media is because it makes sense to us. It's rational. It's what we would do if we were the machine. And like Mike Adams said, imagine what the machine can think of that we can't. And that's a pretty scary and stark reminder. Thank you, Mike Adams, for doing that with me. Really do appreciate it.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.